This is Digital Story Podcast number 751, August 11th, 2020. Today's theme is, Has the Pandemic Killed Your Creative Mojo? I'm Derek Story. In the last 2 months, I've shot 2 rolls of film. If it wasn't for Comet Neowise, the same would apply to my digital production as well. It's not that I don't want to take pictures. It's that all of my normal prompts have been put on ice, and now I'm searching for new inspiration to increase my production. I talk about this ongoing challenge and the realization I had about it in this week's TDS podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. I'm going to start out by telling you this anecdote from when I was 15 years old. I had this gas station job in my hometown. It was pretty cool having this job, and I would work there by myself, which when you think back on it, it's sort of crazy, leaving this 15-year-old in charge of an entire gas station. We had full service, and we had self-service, and we also did things like change tires, patch tires, you know, some light mechanical work. Here I am, you know, this kid running the shop on the weekends, alrighty? And it was really interesting. I learned a lot of things during this job. For example, there would be stretches of time with no customers. You know, that's the way it seemed to work in this business. You'd be there, nothing happening. And then like 20 cars would come in and you'd just be crazy busy. And then nothing happened. And one of the things that I noticed is that when nothing was happening, you know, there were no cars or anything. You know, I'd just kind of hang out. I'd sit there in the chair and sort of watch over things. We didn't have mobile phones then, so I couldn't check Instagram or anything like that. I'd just sort of stare off into space like Putty on Seinfeld or something. And the longer it went without cars, the more sort of sedentary I became. When I just start to grow roots, and I actually wouldn't feel like doing anything. I just got lazier and lazier and lazier. And then when a burst of cars did come in, you know, I'd start working. I'd do this one. I'd do that one. I'd get all energized. I'd be into it. Time was passing quickly, and I really liked the job. And I had more energy than I needed during those periods. And I was going, this is really kind of an interesting phenomenon in that, you know, you think that when there's no activity, you would be resting and you would have more energy, right? But, and then when you're working really hard, you would get tired, but it seemed to be just the opposite to me. Well, I've been thinking about that lately because there's parallels to me with all these different versions of shelter in place. I mean, we're still in some kind of version. And what I mean by that is I can't go out and do portrait shoots, or I can't go to a restaurant and have a meal inside, or I can't run a workshop. I'm not being hired for photo jobs. So those are shelter in place. They're just different versions of it, you know, and basically what the world is saying is that, yeah, you can work in your office at home. We'll let you do that. You know? And I've noticed that the parallel seems to be a little bit like when I was working in the gas station and, you know, you get up in the morning and, you know, you're going to work in front of the computer. And then the next day you're going to work in front of the computer. And the next day, and pretty soon you just feel like, you know, you're growing roots in that chair that's in front of your computer. And if you have Zoom calls and a whole bunch of Zoom calls, then it's even more so, right? It's even more of a momentum killer. And I was going, wow, you know, because the sort of things that I'm focusing on now, not so much any creative projects at all. It's more like, okay, how do I make ends meet? How do I cut costs? How do I get a little extra money to make up for the loss over here? You know, I should stay in contact with my friends. I probably should call my mom more often. And in all honesty, I'm just trying to get through the day as safely as possible and figure out, you know, how to make ends meet. And none of this really seems good for creativity, right? At least on the surface, it doesn't seem good for creativity. The more I find myself stuck in the studio, the less motivated I am to venture out and take pictures of the world, coping with a pandemic. And, you know, maybe that's it. Maybe we're just so single topic these days. And the topic is beginning to feel old and tired. And that topic is, of course, COVID-19. Alrighty. So what I did was I identified this because I'm not feeling as creative as I feel like I should be. So I said, okay, well, I'm going to devise a plan here. It's kind of what I do. I devise a plan to combat now what I'm calling the gas station blues. The gas station blues, right? Sitting there on my chair, no cars, and just really feeling very rooted at the moment. And so I devised a weekly strategy. So here's what this week looks like. For example, today, which is Monday, I'm going to ride my bike. I already did it, actually, but here's the schedule. I already did it. Ride my bike to Jeremiah's, which is about 6.5 miles away. So it's about 13 miles round trip, to pick up some processed film and, you know, maybe look for pictures along the way. You know, get out there, get some fresh air, pedal a little bit. Try to stay away from cars veering at you, all that good stuff. You know, get the adrenaline going, right? And then also, of course, on today's list is to write and record the podcast, which I'm working on right now. It's interesting, on the ride, I didn't get any pictures because the world to me, in the routes that I know especially, still looks very much the same and nothing happened. But I did have an epiphany. And I'm going to talk about that epiphany after I get through this part here. So put a bookmark at epiphany. Epiphany for gas station blues. Alrighty. Tuesday, tomorrow, start recording a new training on how to play, digitize, and enjoy vinyl records. I'm finally ready to record. I had a lot to learn. I had a lot to enjoy. And now I'm ready to pull the trigger, and I'm super excited about that. So that's good. That's a good thing. And then I'm also going to prepare and watch for the Perseid meteor shower. I'm pretty excited about that, much in the same way that I was about Comet Neowise. There's something that's different, you know, that I have photographically to look forward to. So, and I like the preparation part of that. So Tuesday's looking pretty good. I'm going to start recording a new title, and I'm also going to be preparing for the meteor shower, and then I'm actually going to hang out and see if I get some photographs on Tuesday night. Now, Wednesday, I'm going to continue recording, so that's good. You know, then I get in the middle of this project. Hopefully, I'll be processing some images that I captured the night before, and then I got to make sure I get some exercise, because the exercise in there is super important for, you know, kind of keeping everything moving along. So I got to make sure that I have a bike ride or a nice long walk or something like that. On Thursday, I'm hoping that'll be the last day of recording. You never know how those things are going to go. So I'll be focusing mainly on that, and then I'll make sure I get exercise also. And then on Friday, I'm going to do a mini road trip for a meeting, but I'm going to pack a camera and then set aside a little extra time for taking pictures, because I'll be in a new area before returning home. And hopefully I can find something. I'm going to try to find a photo subject that isn't, you know, pandemic related. So already, you know, I've been working on something like this. I worked on it a little bit last week, and then, you know, here's this week's schedule. And what I've noticed is, well, this is fascinating. What I've noticed is that these activities, the variety of activities, the exercise, you know, all that kind of stuff, they're helping me feel better. I feel better, you know, not quite so lethargic. And, you know, so that is definitely half the battle. But the other thing that I noticed is that I'm still not feeling as creatively powerful as I would like. And I think part of that is because I'm using a lot of my creative juices to problem solve the challenges in both business and life right now. So I'm going to give myself credit for that, and I think you should as well. And then that's when the light bulb went on. And it's not that we've lost our creativity, it's that we're having to use it for other things, namely problem solving during a pandemic. The pandemic didn't kill our mojo, It redirected it. And it will be stronger than ever when we get to tap it again for our photography and our writing, our painting and music. So for right now, I think this is what I'm saying. I'm saying it to me and then I'm saying it out loud in case it's interesting to you. So for right now, just do the best that you can every day. Meet those challenges head on. Give yourself credit for using problem solving to help your friends, your family, your community, and your country, really, right? Because if you're helping those other things, you're helping your country as well. And then keep checking in here because, believe me, if anyone knows what you're going through, it's us, right? We're all going through this together. I hear from you. I get your emails. I'm in touch with you, and I'm living it myself. But I thought it was fascinating in that here I thought I was losing my creativity. I was losing my creative mojo. And thank goodness I finally figured out I wasn't losing it. I hadn't lost it. I just had to use it for something else. And that something else is getting through this period of time in our collective lives, this period of time that will at some point end and let us get back to the business of being creative and creating great art. Can you tell the difference between digital black and white and film? So this is just a fun thing that I wanted to do over the weekend. And again, you know, fun things right now are very appealing to me. And they might be a little silly, but at the same time, it kind of gets us, you know, connecting with each other, sharing some opinions and just sort of chatting it up a bit. So what I did was on Saturday on the digital story, I posted two pictures of dibs. One picture was captured with a digital camera and converted to black and white on my Mac. And then the other picture was captured with a Nikon FA 35mm film camera with a 50mm lens as well. They were both Nikon 50mm lens. One was autofocus on the digital one. It was on a D700, by the way. And then, you know, one was a 50mm Series E, which is AIS lens, on the FA. That was captured on Tri-X black and white film. So I processed it here using Labbox. And by the way, on Medium, those of you that are following me on medium.com, I have an article on there. The last article I published is about using Labbox and how I feel is the easiest way to process black and white film at home. At any rate, and then I scanned it with just the Kodak, you know, Scanza digital scanner. And I put them up there and I called one photo A and one photo B, and then I said, all right, which one is digital and which one is film, black and white film, Tri-X film? And it was really fun to watch people try to figure it out. A lot of people did figure it out. You know, so the comments were kind of cool as you kind of got insight into people's thinking process there. And then the voting happened. And I'm going to reveal now which is which. So photo A, on, you know, when you look at the post, photo A is the digital. And that was captured with the Nikon D700 and a Nikon 50mm f1.8 lens. And photo B is the analog. And that was recorded with the FA 50mm lens, Tri-X film, processed in a lab box here at the studio, and then scanned with the Kodak Scanza. And as of this morning, the correct answer, when I rolled up both Facebook and then our Inner Circle poll, you could go to two spots. Patreon members can go to the Inner Circle page and vote and comment there. And then our Facebook group can go to the TDS Facebook page, the Digital Story Facebook page, and comment there and state what they think it is. The correct answer was leading 3-1, about 3-1 on those two sites rolled up. So a lot of folks figured it out. Now, the way that I think the best way to figure it out is to look at the grain pattern, because on Tri-X film, the grain pattern is very pronounced and it's very random. It's very random. It's not organized at all. And for the digital shot, I played fair with you all. I did not add digital grain. I could have. I could have added like a Tri-X grain, and that would have been really mean. I didn't do that. But you'll notice that the grain pattern is more organized and smoother. So that's the easiest way to tell the two part. Now, obviously, some changes to the Tri-X image happened when I scanned it with the Kodak Scanza, which is a low-end scanner. It's not a high-end scanner at all. So that probably introduced some stuff as well. But it was just sort of a fun thing, and I really appreciate all of you participating. I loved the comments. I loved insights into your thinking process on this. It was really a blast. And as I said, the correct answer is photo A is digital, photo B is Tri-X, and if you got it right, pat yourself on the back. Using the NPF rule for photographing night skies. And this is an article that was on F-stoppers, and I put a link to the article so you can go there and read the whole thing and see pictures and all of that good stuff. And the reason why I'm pointing to this article today is because we have that meteor shower rolling in. I mean, it's here right now, but the best nights, at least in my area in Northern California, are going to be Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, the best nights for viewing the meteor shower. And I thought it would be kind of fun because, you know, do you want star trails or do you not want star trails, you know, for your meteor shots? I think it's best, personally, not to have star trails, to have nice pinpoint stars, and then cross your fingers that you get a meteorite or two streaming across the sky. To me, that's really the cool shot. So I thought, okay, I'll run this little article here that really talks about ways that you can calculate your exposure depending on your lens and your sensor and all that good stuff so that you can get the maximum amount of time while keeping the stars nice and sharp, because that's what we want. We want to be able to have that, you know, shutter open as long as possible because that increases our odds of capturing a meteor, but we don't want it so long that the stars begin to get soft and then even start to create star trails, unless you want star trails, right? So, you know, on this article here, they start out by talking about the rule of 600, which is the most basic rule for calculating this stuff. You divide the number 600 by the focal length of the lens that you're using, and you end up with the maximum amount of seconds any exposure may last. And remember, this is from the analog day, so this is full frame. So if you have crop frame, you have to adjust accordingly. Like for instance, on my Micro Four Thirds camera, if I'm using the 17 millimeter lens, I'll probably do the calculation, divide by 34 actually is what I should do, right? No need to do roughly because this whole thing's roughly. So why add more roughly to your roughly already, right? The problem with the 600 rule is it's, you know, from the days of analog photography, and our sensors now are actually more sensitive than film, generally speaking. I don't know, it provides a little too much wiggle room really for the high resolution sensors that we have. So what a lot of people do, they roll that down to a rule of 500 or a rule of 400. So then they're dividing the focal length, they're dividing 400 by the focal length of the lens, feeling like that's a more accurate number. Alrighty. But then they have this thing called the NPF rule, which is more accurate than any of these sort of, they're not crude methods for figuring this out, but they're not as deadly accurate as the NPF rule. And it is really interesting. NPF stands for the N equals aperture. It's the official notification of aperture in optics. P stands for pixel density, and that's the distance between the pixels on the sensor, also called pixel pitch. And then F is the focal length. So there's a formula that uses, you know, these three data inputs, and that gives you a really accurate amount of time that you can have the shutter open and get pinpoint stars. Now, the formula itself is, unless you're a math person, the formula itself is a little intimidating. However, there are apps that will figure it out for you. And I wanted to mention the app PhotoPills. And if you aren't aware of that, this app, it's a very cool app. And you might want to look at it anyway, because it does like everything. But I wanted to mention that PhotoPills will calculate the NPF rule for you. So then, you know, you just have this easy little user interface, and you just, you know, kind of select, you know, the different variables, and then it tells you how long you can leave the shutter open. Depending on what your vision is, if you're going to go out and shoot the meteor shower, depending on what your vision is, and if you want pinpoint stars, you might want to take a look at this article in the show notes. It gives you a lot of information. And if you're great with math, you can just sort of figure it out yourself before you head out. If you're not so hot in math, you might want to take a look at PhotoPills anyway and let it calculate the NPF. Or if you don't want to do any of that and you just want to keep it simple, I've had really good results. I mean, this is what I use when I photograph NeoWise, the rule of 400. So I just use the rule of 400 with my Micro Four Thirds and, you know, doing the 35 millimeter equivalent, you know, the full frame equivalent. And that worked out really well too. So all that information is in this article. And I really want to encourage you to go out and find a nice dark spot and just lay back and look at the stars, stargaze a bit, and watch a few meteors. And then if you're so inclined, maybe even try to capture some on film. I may do like I did with NeoWise and, you know, run some of the best shots from our Flickr, you know, our TDS Flickr public group as a roll-up. We'll see how many people do that. If you do photograph the meteor shower and you get some stuff that you like, put it on our Flickr public group. And believe me, I monitor that and I'll be looking for it. And if we get enough shots, I'll do a roll-up and run on the digital story and feature you. So anyway, something to look forward to this week, you know, looking to the heavens again to sort of, you know, freshen up things for us and give us a new photo assignment. I want to mention one of the trainings that I have on our workshops page at the Nimble Photographer, thenimblephotographer.com. If you click on workshops, you know, I have now more the online trainings because the physical workshops are on hold for the moment. And one of them is the essential steps to impressive video conferencing. And the reason why I mention it is I've had people asking me about it this week. I've had some people downloading it. And, you know, it is really helpful if you're having to sit in on Zoom calls and Skype calls and all that stuff. And you really want to put, you know, your best self forward on these calls. You know, you don't want to be the guy or gal with the terrible audio and the, you know, the terrible lighting and the green skin and and the nasty background and everything else that can go wrong in these video conferencing calls. If you really want to up your game, this 1 hour training will help you do that. It will help you do that. And I cover, you know, I cover lighting, I cover audio, I cover, you know, which camera to use. And, you know, depending on what you have available and then maybe stuff to shoot for, I cover environment and internet connection and all that kind of stuff. It will really help you with all aspects of improving your presence online. And especially now that it's particularly clear that we're going to be doing this for a while, might as well go ahead and get your Zoom act together. And if you want to do that quickly, check out this title, The Essential Steps to Impressive Video Conferencing, and it's at thenimblephotographer.com. Just click on Workshops. I shipped out a few donation kits last week, and it felt really good to do that. And that was to folks who have found some film cameras, some analog gear, some lenses, some accessories, you know, stuff that would be very nice in the film camera shop. And, you know, it's been very interesting at the film camera shop because during this entire time that the pandemic has been going, there seems to be a newfound interest in analog photography and film cameras and all that stuff. And the film camera shop has actually been quite busy. I would say that traffic is up, you know, 15 to 20%. And it was up more than that in March and April. But it's still continued to be more brisk year over year than it has been ever before, last year and the year before. And I think that some people are taking advantage of this time to maybe say, hey, I've always, you know, kind of wanted to play around with film photography. Maybe I'll pick up a camera, or maybe I have a camera already and I'll get a new lens, you know, that kind of stuff. So the Film Camera Shop has been very active, and you can help me keep that inventory up. You can help me get gear that isn't being used into the hands of people who will absolutely love it and use it. And then it also helps support this podcast all at the same time. It's, you know, it's a win-win-win across the board. So if you have run across some stuff, some cameras and lenses and stuff that you think would be really nice additions to the Film Camera Shop, I can send you a donation kit, and it's a box and it's a label, has everything you need. And then all you have to do is go online and tell USPS to pick it up, and they'll pick it up for free when they deliver your mail. They get that box to me, and then I can clean up the items. I can do light repair. I can do all sorts of stuff, and then I'll get it in the shop and try to get it into the hands of these folks that are really enjoying analog photography right now. And I have to tell you, it has really helped. The revenue from that has really helped offset, you know, the loss of photo jobs, which are all of them right now, and the workshops, which are, you know, also clean slate right there too. They're also all on hold until at least mid 2021. And the Film Camera Shop has really helped, you know, fill in some of those gaps there. Those of you that have contributed over the last few weeks and months, I just want to tell you thank you so much. I appreciate you going to the trouble to do that, to pull that gear together, and you know, really sort of help the cause here and make some people very happy. So if you're interested in getting a donation kit and sending some stuff our way here, all you have to do is get a hold of me using the contact form on the nimblephotographer.com. Just click on contact form. You'll see that one of the things is, hey, I want to donate a camera. Let me know what you have, and then we'll take it from there. I'd love to see what you have, and it gives me a chance to communicate with you as well. So it's just great all the way around. Thank you so much for considering us for your analog gear. I truly appreciate it. All right, let's take care of a little virtual camera club business here. You know, last week I mentioned that we're postponing the Eastern Sierra workshop, and we're actually going to do an online version of it. And I'm working on that right now. I'm pretty excited about it. And I've sent notes out to everyone who was on the reserve list for that workshop, kind of let them know what's going on. I'll be working on the details for the online version of that, and I'm going to try to incorporate as many things as possible, including you know, having the photo sharing and all that good stuff. So I think this is going to be good. I have a really good feeling about it. I think I have a good plan. So more details to come about the Eastern Sierra workshop going virtual. We're going to go virtual in October, so stay tuned for more information on that. I want to give a big thanks to our Inner Circle members. These are the folks that support our podcast week in and week out. I truly appreciate everything, your contributions in every level, from being, you know, part of our informal board of directors and advising me on and sharing thoughts with me, to, you know, every month, you know, contributing your $5 to help support the show. I appreciate all of it, and I thank you so much. If you're interested in becoming an Inner Circle member, all you have to do is go to thedigitalstory.com, look for the Patreon tile that's in the far right column. You'll see Patreon there. Click on that. That'll take you over to our page, and there you can see what's going on, and hopefully you'll sign up and become part of our informal board of directors as well. We have tiles for B&H and Amazon on all the pages of the Digital Story. If you're going to do a little shopping, and especially if you're shopping about something that we're talking about here, if you would go there first and just click on the appropriate tile, Amazon or B&H, then navigate to the item that you're looking for, that affiliate link helps support this show. And it doesn't cost you a penny more. It doesn't cost you a penny more. It helps support the show, and it also helps me maintain my relationship with both of those entities, which is very important to me. So those of you that are doing that, and some of you did that big time last month, I really appreciate it. It helps out so very much. And it's such a pleasure to see when I get the affiliate report and I go, wow, people did some shopping this month. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And finally, a huge thanks to our friends at Red River Paper. These are the inkjet printing specialists. I think they're the best in the business. I really do. Not only do they have fantastic paper, which I just love using, but when I say best in business, I just mean all the way around, you know, from, you know, the way that they do customer support, from all the information they provide on the site, from the variety of things you can select on their site, you know, from different types of paper, different surfaces, you know, all the things that go with it. You can even get your ink for Canon and Epson printers, you know, the information they provide on how to do projects that are cool, the reviews they do, tutorials, the whole deal. I mean, I don't really know of anyone else that is as comprehensive as they are when it comes to inkjet printing. And then on top of that, they have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/Red River Paper. If you want to see what's going on, just click on the Red River Paper tile that's on all the pages of the digital story and go check it out yourself. Make some art that you can hand to other people and then watch their expression as they go, you made this? I just did it again for my mom. My mom just had her 85th birthday and I made her some cards. And, you know, when I went down to visit her and I gave her a gift and had the cards on Red River paper that I made for her. She liked the cards a lot, even at first. But then later on, it was interesting. Later on that night, we were just talking and she's going, so you're still doing the cards? Are you selling the cards? They're really beautiful. How do you do these cards? And she was really fascinated by it. And I told her, yeah, I go to people's houses that I gave cards to and I see them in frames on the wall. I said, it's really a cool and popular thing. All of that is because of Red River Paper. So thanks so much. And they are the longest running sponsor of our show. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I feel better now that I know my creative energy is going into problem solving and that I'll be able to get back to being a creative artist before too long. I hope you feel a little bit better too, and I hope you come back and join us next week. Until then, have a fantastic week. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.